From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Avoid the Noid.
When Cameron was in Egypt land. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average.
Why are we talking like this?
We'll explain in a moment.
Okay.
It's Thursday. We're laughing because we know what it is.
That's right. And it's hilarious.
It's Thursday evening, a rare Thursday night podcast, July 1st, 2010.
And this is show 089er, getting close to the magic 100.
I know, we're going to have a party.
We are, it's going to be a scant couple months away.
Yeah, unless we do like a week where we podcast every night just to get it over with.
That could well be.
Get our average down.
Yeah, business, old business.
Oh, the Brigade of Minions. I love numbers that end in 5. And we're at 325 minions.
Yay.
This latest crop, if you care to join, I highly recommend it because you'll get to be a Switchblade Lothario, which, I don't know, that might be my favorite designation up to this point.
It's a good one, I gotta say. Yeah, it would be a shame if you came, and the next batch could be really just a terrible, disappointing name.
Yeah, we might, in fact, just come up with a name that's horribly disappointing, you know, just to contrast, and then it'll take like a year for anybody to want to be a minion.
That's right.
But go to paulandstorm.com to find out about that. Now, we're laughing because I'm in pain.
You are in pain. You sound in pain, my friend.
I am in pain. I don't know what it is. But I'm stuffed up. Sometimes I have a sore throat. Sometimes it's a fever. It may have been because my niece and nephews were in town.
That's my bet.
Right, because even though they weren't symptomatic or had a cold, you know, kids just, they get into stuff.
They're petri dishes.
Yeah, they are. And
you guys, like, you know, not having kids, you aren't exposed to the wealth, the panoply of microbes that, like, people like my wife and I am.
Yeah,
you know, we have one kid in elementary school and one kid in junior high. Pretty much, you know, if it's an evil virus that exists, it's crossed our transom at some point, out of the way kids are.
So, and we haven't built up our immunity, and of course, they're cute and awesome and all, so we're not gonna, you know, not play with them.
It's like that Simpsons episode.
I don't remember it.
There was an episode where all of the childless people in Springfield wanted to vote to not have to pay for the school or something like that, and they were ready to vote that way, I guess, in front of a big referendum, and the way they defeated them was to sick all of the kids on the childless people and get them sick so they couldn't get to the polls.
Well, maybe that's what's happening.
That could be. Is there any sort of important election coming up this week?
Not for me, so I guess that's not it. No. It could be cat scratch fever.
It could be. That's right. You got all bit.
Yeah. I believe you folks may have heard me talk about one of my two cats. He is truly psychotic, not in that, oh, he's a psycho kitty, isn't that cute? No, he draws blood on a regular basis. And I don't know.
He's a cat with emotional problems.
Oh, he is. But, you know, he's got the sweetness and the, I don't like using the word personality with animals. I love animals, but they're not people. But his individuality is off the charts, which makes up for the bloodletting. But yeah, he just like bit me full on on the arm in the middle of the night.
Do you think you like sat on him or?
Yeah. What happens
just
is.
Looked at him funny or?
Well, it was hot in the room. And when that happens, I'll like leave one of my legs out to kind of balance the temperature. And he pretty much like throughout the night rotates around the bed. And he was probably parked by my foot and I moved and it startled him. And then he sort of he came up to me, and I put my hand up as sort of a, hey, all right, we're cool, right? And he just went,
you weren't
chomp.
Cool.
I mean, right on. And I know he could have, he probably could have bit harder than he did, but
yeah, it was not a nip. It was a full on bite.
Oh no, it was, you know, I'm digging in here. Hey buddy, you yeah. fucked with the wrong cat. So that could have been it. It also could just be allergies. Like every couple of years I get hit with the million-pound allergy shit hammer.
I'd believe it up until the fever. Like I don't think I've ever heard of anyone having a fever related to allergies.
Oh, it wasn't like a high fever. Just
well,
sort
even
of a,
even so.
I guess that's true.
They can't hurt. Well, plus, coupled with the fact that there appears to be some sort of summer cold going around, whatever it might be. It is blown its way through our house. I'm the next to last one to get it. I actually am. I'm not fully mended today, but I'm certainly on the far side of it. Two nights ago, I was a miserable bastard, and I was stuffy, and my sinuses felt like there was a small man inside with a chisel.
Did you get to wear Sicky Mickey?
I did not. I believe we've had this discussion on the podcast past. There's an incredibly comfortable sweater that my wife or I will wear. It was she originated it, bought it at Walt Disney World. It's just, you know, white sweater with a big picture of Mickey Mouse on it. And we call it Sicky Mickey, and we only wear it when we are particularly sick because it has magical healing powers because we believe in the hoodoo. But actually, no, it's funny you mentioned that because I half considered the Sicky Mickey and I realized that I was not sick enough to wear it. And it would sort of, you know, I don't actually believe the thing has healing powers, but at the same time, I don't want to overuse the Sicky Mickey.
Sure, if there is a psychological edge, you don't want to dampen the mojo.
Plus, it would have pissed off my wife and she'd known I would have been sort of milking my illness if I put on Sicky Mickey because she knew damn well that I was not sick enough for it. And that's really Sicky Mickey is for flu.
Yes, it's really fluey Mickey, but that doesn't
it really
rhyme.
Is. But, you know, that I mean, that's the only sickness that my wife and I will get with any regularity that knocks us down and out. And this was definitely not flu. This was just a crappy cold that makes you feel rotten for about 24 hours and bad for another 24 and inconvenienced for another 24. And I'm in the inconvenience phase right now.
Well, I've been stuck with this for about 3 days.
Yeah.
And naturally that has me thinking about death. you know, I've had a stuffed up head and occasionally a sore throat for 3 days. So naturally I'm thinking
about
death.
Of course you are.
Now, before I have a couple of topics that were from notes that I'd made in the past that we just, you know, never had time for. And I generally, you know, have many more topics than we would ever have time for.
Right.
But if we want to take a couple of there are some really good Twitter suggestions. A lot of people are jumping on the Twitter tonight.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, you know, I was going to ask something before we get to that, because I knew we were going to be talking about the subject of our respective illnesses. I was going to bring up the more general topic that we were already sort of in on with the Sicky Mickey thing of particular sickness cures particular to yourself or your family or your household.
Well, I thought that's what that whole Sicky Mickey discussion was really about.
Well, it was, but I didn't know if I was going to turn it on you to see if you had anything like that or a routine or a particular pair of jammies that you wear anything like that.
If you'll recall, the cure around here is my my wife yelling at me for being a drama queen. And that seems to snap me out of it most of the time. No, I guess when I was a kid, there were some things. Like
a chicken soup or anything?
Well, yes, because I did, you know, I have a Jewish mother. So
yes,
it's very much part of the culture to, you know, she makes really good chicken soup, among other things. So certainly we had that when I was sick, but we were one of those only eat the healthy cereals households.
Oh, yeah.
I call bullshit on that. I know it was probably good for me, and it helped me develop habits that would be better than otherwise.
Yep.
But I think originally it was sugar couldn't be the first ingredient, and then it couldn't be the first two. And then I think it was sugar never could have come within a quarter mile of that box of cereal.
Anybody who was anywhere near the field in which the grains were grown could not spell the word cereal. I mean,
so,
sugar.
So generally for a long time, that meant Cheerios. That's all we could eat.
Right.
If you want to get on my bad side, bring me Cheerios. I do not want to see fucking Cheerios ever again. And don't tell me, well, the Honey Nut is good. I know a lot of people like that, and that's fine. Yep.
As a complete quick aside, what did you drop?
I didn't get to the point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The point was when I was sick, we got to eat Fruit Loops.
Ah.
So that was the big treat. Okay,
gotcha.
Now I'm done.
Do you associate Fruit Loops with illness?
You know,
as a result, or like do you ever eat Fruit Loops as an adult?
I don't have a taste for sugar cereals. It's funny. I love Golden Grahams and I love Captain Crunch, but I never buy them.
Uh-huh.
It's the sort of thing where if you're at like a hotel and they have free breakfast and there's
right.
Captain Crunch, oh yeah,
right.
Oh yeah, I'm right there. I've got my face in the trough.
Yep.
But no, I don't think I've had Fruit Loops since I was a kid, and I wonder if that would bring back those memories of being really ill.
It'd be like that scene from Ratatouille.
Yes.
Like take a bite and suddenly we zoom into your eyeball and it's young Storm sniffling away in his sick bed, eating on some Fruit Loops.
Or I would suddenly remember my youth in the south of France.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
You were going somewhere. Well, it wasn't a particularly pointed aside. We have long established my Paul's eating habits of a six-year-old.
Sure.
And I do have a taste for the sugared cereals, but I have always loved Cheerios with, like, I would never put sugar on my Cheerios or Wheaties.
Yep.
Or anything like that. I always hated that. Like, while
yeah.
I love Cap'n Crunch and Lucky Charms and always, and things like that, if I had a bland cereal and I would never, like, that was totally disgusting to me to heap a spoonful of sugar upon it.
Well, that's how the chef made it, you know?
Yeah.
You don't mess with the chef's thing.
It's just so odd to me because I have a sweet tooth, so you would think.
All right. I'm gonna nag you publicly.
Please do.
Being of the sickness recently aside, have you been walking, Paul?
As a matter of fact, I walked yesterday.
All right.
I did not get to walk today, but I did indeed walk yesterday.
Good man. That's it. That's it for my public nag.
That's fine. Nope. So I've been getting, you know, Storm having lost, what was it, 50 pounds from
yeah.
the heaviest?
Yeah.
I've given him full permission to sort of get on my case to keep mobile.
Yes.
While I'm not in super active, gotta lose tons of weight mode, and just sort of trying to slowly change my behaviors.
Yeah.
And part of that is the Storm, you are the equivalent of my snapping a rubber band on my wrist.
Well, it's nice to be thought of as an elastic.
Yeah. There's a front runner.
Yeah. So you ready for death?
Yeah, give me death.
All right. I have two topics. And I'll in the old style, I'll give you the title and you can just pick the one.
Ah, yes. Like in the day.
Back in the day. Nah, they're kind of boring. Titles. The titles aren't that boring.
Oh,
one
okay.
is just Life Flash Before Your Eyes.
Uh-huh.
And the second is You Must Fight the Bear.
I'm going with You Must Fight the Bear.
That's a good choice. And I'm not 100% sure if I might have talked about it this before.
I know we recently had a discussion of near-death experiences.
Well, this is different. Well, this isn't near-death as You Must Fight the Bear. That's different.
Okay. Then we're good.
Okay. The background on this, my wife and I, we went to Italy a number of years ago, and one of the places we went was Venice.
Mm-hmm.
And a wonderful, storied city, a bit of a tourist trap now, still beautiful, but these stories that they have, the history there, and one of them was the intrigue. There are all these, of course, canals and back streets and alleys and narrow ways.
Yes.
So naturally, well, they didn't have ninjas because it was Italy.
Right.
But they did have assassins, even
uh-huh.
if they weren't ninja.
Yes. Anyone who's played Assassin's Creed or Assassin's Creed 2 knows Italy's fabled history with assassins.
Right. And Venice in particular being a major commercial area where there's, you know, intrigue and money and boats and things.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be assassins.
There's the new frontrunner. Intrigue and Money and Boats and Things. Right there, I'm telling you, that's the title of this podcast.
All right, well, we'll see how far this story goes downhill. There might be a better one that lurking at the bottom of the bowl.
Okay, so there's a Italian ninjas.
Yes, and one of their favorite tricks, like if you wanted someone not just to die, but to die agonizingly and to know that they were dying agonizingly and to know they'd been done, right? Yep. Like the, you know, dude, you know, you're really going to pay.
Yep.
They had these glass daggers, right?
Yeah.
Granted that they're sharp. Now, it's just the blade that was glass.
Right.
The hilt was, I don't know, maybe it was metal or wood.
Was something made of hilt wood.
Hilt wood, yes. Which Cher was in that, I believe,
yes.
In 1981. And the assassin would approach someone from the front, possibly around a shady corner, and plunge this dagger into the intended victim's gut.
Right.
With a sharp twist of the wrist, break off the blade.
Yep, okay. This is appetizing.
Yes, so basically, your choice is... are to run and just cut yourself to ribbons inside, or stay perfectly still, live longer, but still bleed to death.
Bleed to death, right, yeah.
That's a horrible way to die.
That is a terrible way to die.
So my question to you, and to all of you out there, you can think about this too, and I've put a little thought, not a ton, into this, is... what would be a great way to die? Now, of course, the obvious answer is I want to die in my sleep, painlessly, thinking about mutton. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever makes you happy. So we're talking about a more creative, awesome way, great way to die.
Gotcha.
I have always believed that if you gotta, you know, you've been granted, okay, it's not going to be the quick, easy way out, but you can choose.
Right, right.
Witnessing a cataclysm, like if you saw 2012, that kind of thing, where you get to see Mars like smack into the Earth, that kind of thing.
Right.
So that's sort of my thinking there. Uh-huh. So what do you think, Paul?
That's a very good question. I might... I have never really given this much thought.
Yeah, but why would you?
Just to name something, I think I would ride a missile Slim Pickens style, a nuclear missile.
Yeah.
So I'd have sort of a fun ride and then die instantly.
Yeah, that's good. That's exactly it. And I think that's part of the key to it is, like, unlike our glass dagger death, it's like... it's quick and painless, or at least you imagine it would be. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't really know, you know, what you feel after you die, if you feel. But at least as far as we know, smothered by puppies might be fun.
Could be.
I mean, it'd be a cute death.
It surely would be a cute death.
Though I guess, I don't know, suffocation by any other name wouldn't be pleasant. I do get morbid when I have a cold.
You really do. what other fun little topics do you have?
Sure. Well, life flash before your eyes is much less morbid and is much more positive.
Okay.
So I'm glad we've gone from the dark to the light here.
Yes, that's the proper order.
This is a topic I actually thought of about several months ago after I had nearly been run over by a car.
Right.
This is for true, where I literally thought that this car was gonna hit me and I'd go flying through the air and be impaled on a street sign or something. It didn't happen, but I had that sensation of your life flashing before your eyes.
Uh-huh.
And that got me to thinking after I cleaned the crap out of my pants about what is that? Why? What's that all about? Why does that happen? Like most things with your mind and with your body, there's some reason for it, even if it's antiquated, you know, the whole fight and flight thing, fight or flight about, you know, I guess running from lions, I guess that's what that's about.
Right.
So there must be some purpose to it, and I have a theory.
Okay.
All right. So, not that people's brains are computers,
mm-hmm.
but there do seem to be an awful lot of parallels.
Yep.
And that it is certainly some kind of electrochemical machine.
Yeah.
Well, what if that flashing is your brain is sending out all of these very strong senses? I mean, it's visual, it's taste, it's sound, all these things flash.
It's umami.
It could be umami, if umami is not total bullshit, which it seems it may be. And in doing so, it's planting these things all throughout your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So that, let's say, you know, you were running from that lion in your fight and flight. And you get maimed, or you jump off a cliff and you knock your head.
Right.
Well, perhaps your brain at that moment says, wow, there's a good chance that my brain's going to get really effed up here. But perhaps there are some memories and snips of things that can almost act as a boot disk, right? That could like jumpstart your brain if there's just enough to sort of act as that spark,
right,
to kind of get things rolling, to redo things. So my question to you, aside from do you think this is complete bullshit or not, is what if it is true that that's the function, what memory or sense or little snippet or thing do you think would give you the greatest chance of rebooting yourself?
Oh, man, what the hell kind of question is this?
Okay.
See, the problem is I have a competing theory as to why your brain does that, which has given me trouble as to coming up with an answer to your latter question.
Okay.
Because I believe your life flashes before your eyes because your brain is kind of like a stereotypical Jewish mother.
Okay.
And it's at that moment when you're pretty sure that you're going to die that your brain goes back over your life and tries to find the point, basically tries to figure out how you got there, and tries to find the exact decision that put you in the position of being about to die.
Now,
it has to do it from the beginning, so that once it finds it, usually at the end, like basically the last thing you have to deal with is your brain going, aha, see, you did that, and there was your trouble, you frickin' idiot.
I could see that, except for the last step, and I could see a like, if that was it, there wouldn't be a positive function to it. However, if at that last step it was, aha, I found the problem, and all you need to do is take one step to the right, or, you know, that maybe in going through all of those index cards, it's looking for an answer. It's yeah. grasping.
Well, see, you're predicating on the assumption that there is a positive function of it. I think your brain is just an asshole.
Maybe your brain is an asshole. Your mom's brain's an asshole.
Your mom's brain's an asshole.
I like that theory, too. I like that.
But since I don't have an adequate answer to you, let me turn it back to you. Did you have a particular idea in mind as far as what your reboot disc would hold on it?
I have a couple that, you know, I don't like to think too much about them.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that really jumped to mind was the smell of onions and garlic sautéing in a pan.
Uh-huh.
That's something that both my parents cooked growing up, and I cook now. And my dad being Italian, that's pretty much the first step to making everything.
Yeah, including ice cream.
Yeah, ice cream.
Or excuse me, gelato.
Well, either one starts with onion and garlic. And that's something that it's such a strong sense memory that it's sort of like, okay, maybe it wouldn't have anything to do with life flash before your eyes, but almost like smelling salts, the thing to get you out of the coma, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, can you hear me? Well,
right.
No, but if you saute some onions and garlic, that might help.
The onions and garlic is your pinball game.
That's my front runner for the title of this podcast. So I'll say that one.
It's not going to be because I was kind of working at it.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. I don't remember the other one, but I do remember it was mighty good.
Yeah. So we'll just turn this one over to the public then, because I like your answer and I don't have a better one than that. So I'm just gonna ask the listeners to go ahead and submit their brain boot disk memories that they think could restart them in a pinch.
Yeah. Hit you with a couple of the Twitter suggestions, which I think will be nice little snacky things.
Sure.
Ray's Gal asks, Genie versus Samantha. Now, I assume he means as a potential mate.
Or just general preference?
Yeah, or general preference. Answer it however you will.
Samantha. She was a more liberated woman.
Mm-hmm.
Smarter.
Yep.
And a better dresser.
Yep. That would have been my answer, except for I would not have cited that she was a better dresser, but I would have come around to it.
Yep.
Because
of course, you would also have to deal with her mother.
Her mother-in-law, yeah. Did Jeannie have any...
No, I don't think so, except maybe some, quick guest appearance one-offs or something. She might have had family, but as far as regulars were concerned, it was just Captain What's-His-Name.
Nelson, yeah.
Yeah.
She did have that cool, that bitchin' pillow pad of hers.
She did. She did have that. That's true.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of mod happening. It's happening.
But Samantha had that cool little nose twitchy thing.
No, I agree with you mostly in terms of, like, if you're talking about someone you actually have to spend time with in any capacity.
Yep.
Whether they're your mate or not.
Yep.
Samantha would be the one that you
Funny you mention Bewitched. Because that's another thing I remember spending an inordinate amount of time thinking about. There was one episode of Bewitched where, and I do not remember the particular reason behind it, but she ended up bringing Ben Franklin.
Yeah, I remember that.
To her house. And yeah. I used to think, how cool would it be to somehow, and this was before Bill and Ted's Great
right.
Adventure came out as well.
Right.
So I wasn't piggybacking that idea. But how cool would it be to take someone like Ben Franklin or Thomas Jefferson and bring them to what at the time would have been, 1979 or 1980, and mm-hmm. show them just all the cool shit we have now.
Yep.
And see how much of it I could explain to them adequately.
Well, it would certainly depend on who you're bringing back. If you brought either Ben Franklin or Thomas Jefferson, yeah, they would be, pretty happy.
Yeah.
If you brought... Rasputin, actually, I guess Rasputin would probably be pretty interested in what was happening.
I suppose he would.
Yeah. Or maybe some of the kings, probably, like the lesser kings, those lesser kings.
Like Papin.
Exactly. Would be like, oh, that's interesting.
Pliny the Elder.
Pliny would dig it. He'd dig it the most.
Well, Pliny the Elder. Pliny the Younger couldn't have cared less.
Yeah, he was... kind of a Johnny come lately.
He was a dick. That's why they actually called him Pliny the Dick, but they
Pliny the
put
dick.
That in the history books. So,
yeah,
Pliny the Younger he was.
Another
Twitter suggestion.
Favorite cheese or cheeses?
I thought we've answered this question in the past.
Did we?
Maybe we have. I don't know. Well, maybe we haven't. Go ahead. Anyway.
Sure. We both super love cheese.
Yep.
I'll just list two of my favorites. I love any stinky blue, like a Stilton, mm-hmm. or something schmancy that, like we had a Kraft blue from Oregon that was just kazowie.
Yeah.
And then aged cheddars aged not as in, you see it and it says, oh, it's extra sharp. It was aged for 2 years. No.
Yeah.
Like 8, 9, 10 years.
Something that's been sitting in some old farmer's basement.
Right. Sitting in his pocket. Like he's saving that one. He's saving that hunk of cheese for someone really special. Because everyone knows that cheese ages best in a farmer's pocket.
I love that image. It'd be that one pocket in the front of a big pair of blue overalls.
Yes, overalls.
That's
exactly
what that pocket is for. That particular front pocket is for aging cheese.
Just specking you think you got cheese in the pocket. Yep. Yep, and I do.
If you best a farmer at, say, a hay baling contest or at a threshing contest, then he must give you the cheese from his front overall pocket.
That's where that phrase, yielding your cheese, comes from.
That's exactly right. You're the better thresher, cheese man.
Wow.
That old saying.
That's the opening line of a Springsteen song.
It really is. Something off of Nebraska.
I've got other notes here, but I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, the last thing I would like to say is that in next week's podcast, most likely, we will be announcing a very cool thing.
Oh, right. Yes,
I will also say it is not Wootstock related.
No, though, that's very exciting. You're going to want to get your tickets to Wootstock San Diego, by the way.
You absolutely are, and you can find that information both at paulandstorm.com and at wootstock.net as far as what's going on there on July 22nd. But this is an entirely unrelated thing to Wootstock. Well, maybe not entirely, insofar as we're involved.
Right.
But it is a cool thing that we are not, at this moment, at liberty to discuss, but very, very soon can discuss.
And it's very excited, and it's a cool thing that you may choose to participate in. And I think we can say that much without really saying anything.
Yes, I believe, yes, we're being cryptic enough. And teasing enough.
And I'll even go so far as to say that it's a cool thing that many of you will participate in.
Yeah,
so.
It's a cool thing that your mom could participate in.
She could, actually.
And she could.
She might. I don't know.
There is there are no mom restrictions on this cool thing.
Not this one. We have other cool things that are strictly no mom.
Yeah.
This is not one of them.
Yeah, but otherwise, paulandstorm.com has the schedule. The only other thing that are currently on the books. On August 14th, we're going to be at Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia, our old stomping grounds. And did we announce this last time, or is this new since last podcast, that we are officially going to be at PAX once again this year?
No, we didn't announce that. That's right.
We're going to be at PAX.
In Seattle,
yay!
You know it. Which is mega awesome, exciting.
Yeah, that's Labor Day weekend, September 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
It's one of the true bastions of good. So
yeah, it is going to be great. We don't know which night we're performing yet, but I'm making the declaration it's going to be epic this year, because last year we were really, it was brand new to us. We sort of knew what to expect, but really didn't.
Yep.
And now we get to go in with sort of a year of veteranness behind us, and we plan to make the most of it. I don't even know, we don't even know what we're doing yet.
No,
we haven't really even discussed it. But I can guarantee you, speaking for both of us, we're going to make the most of this year's PAX.
Because we're wily sophomores now.
That's right.
We're wily.
Got a year under our belt. We gained and lost our freshman 15.
And certainly we're going to come up with something special. So.
Yeah.
You'll want to be there for that.
Absolutely.
You also... Oh, go ahead.
I just said absolutely was all.
Sure. You're also going to want to join the Brigade of Minions at paulandstorm.com because you can become a Switchblade Lothario. Tell Will Wheaton those slots are filling up.
They're filling up. Running out of time. I guess that's about it.
Well,
mostly.
That I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Let my Cameron
go do things.
Nights chasing wenches, and he'll happily kick in your teeth. Oh, he'll happily kick in your teeth. Well, he comes from St. Joe, where he grew up with his mom. Lots of fish and this drunk Mexican. And then he hopped a few trains just to ride off his pains. Now he's doing the best that he can. Oh, he's doing the best that he can. He's too proud to live. on your side. Oh, it's good to have Jane on your side. He steals what he needs from the big companies, and he don't fight for honor nor fame. A night out with his gun is his idea of fun, and he thinks all you mutters are lame. Oh, he thinks all you mutters are lame. But he don't do much hating. He don't need a lot from this world. Just a little more clutch and some vittles and such, and just one night with some pretty girl. Oh, some trim from some fine looking girl. Oh, he's too proud to live and too dumb to die. Knows how his mama she tried, and he's always been well while he's going to hell. But it's good to have Jane on your side. Oh, it's good to have Jane on your side. Jane's dumb, but he's tough, and he likes to shoot stuff, and he don't give a damn what you think. Spends his days turning wrenches and his nights chasing wenches, and he'll happily kick in your teeth. Oh, he'll happily kick in your teeth.